Everybody has notes. Please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That'll be our starting place. And here we are again. This is just one of those passages that expands and kind of takes in the whole Bible. We've been taking a long look at this mystery of iniquity. I tell you, it's just a mystery how a nation can abandon all that pertains to God without abandoning their profession of being godly. That's the mystery of iniquity. And the Bible says here in verse number 4, in chapter 2, verse number 4, that this son of perdition opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. All right, so the key word there, exalteth himself, so that he as God, and that's important, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that's curious words if you ever meditated on that part of that verse. I mean, I understand the grammar, I understand the phrasing there, that he is showing that he himself is God. But the thing about this verse and the wording here is that it also allows for further insight into this mystery of iniquity. He's showing himself that he is God. It's as though he has convinced himself of the lie that he's telling everyone else. And I'm sure that you see and understand after these many weeks that we've been discussing this topic, I hope you understand, that you are capable of deceiving yourself. You are capable of selling yourself on the lie you're trying to sell others. I've dealt with people many times, either sitting in their living room or in my home or in this church for a private meeting, and they looked me in the eye and lied. And I'm just thinking to myself, don't they know that I know that they're lying to me? You know? And I've come to realize they don't even know that they're lying anymore. They have sold themselves on the notion that, you know, God really did say that I could do this thing, or God really does want me to do that, or God is okay with this, even though it goes against Scripture. And they have first, before setting out to convince anyone else that their actions are justified, they have first convinced themselves. You know, here's how it goes. I love the Lord, therefore I wouldn't do anything that the Lord wouldn't approve of. Therefore, what I'm doing has the approval of the Lord. Because I'm doing it. See, that's how you convince yourself. That's why you have to have the Bible for your final authority. You know, you've got to have it. Scripture, convict me. Scripture, illumine me. Scripture, show me the truth. Don't let me deceive myself and then become a deceiver. And it's very easy to do. For example, when a man makes the decision to honor Santa Claus instead of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day, I guarantee you that man is convinced in his own heart and mind that he's standing right in the middle of God's will. I'm satisfied when a man refers to the Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Holy One of Israel, as the big guy. I'm satisfied that man actually believes that he's honoring the Lord. But he had to first deceive himself. And so, I don't want to be self-deceived. The mystery of iniquity is, how can I, how can you, how can we find ourselves doing things that everybody else knows goes against the Word of God, but we can't see it? A lot of times it seems that people can see so clearly all around them, but in their own life there's just that one blind spot that no matter which angle they look from, they just can't see that thing in their own life. You know, and if we notice that in somebody else, guess what? That probably means that we might have that blind spot too. That's why you need the Bible. It's probably something in our life that we don't see, but everybody else can see it very, very clearly. So we got to have a final authority to open our eyes to those blind spots. You are capable. I am capable of convincing myself that something's right when it's wrong. That something's wrong when it's right. Without a final authority, I stay blind. The Pharisees were rebuked for saying that they saw. And when Jesus rebuked them, they didn't repent. They didn't humble themselves. Why? They were fully persuaded that they were right. And he said to them, if you would just admit that you can't see, I could give you sight. But as long as you cling to your blindness, despite my pointing it out to you, despite my rebuking you, well, then I can't help you. So let's do this. Let's turn to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And then we'll just spend a little bit of time there, and then we'll go to 2 Chronicles 18. First Kings chapter 22. I want to show you another one of these marvelous Bible accounts that illustrate this mystery of iniquity that's already at work in the world. You might be thinking, well, Brother Bob, if you keep preaching like this, some people are going to stop coming. All right, well, why is it my fault that preaching the Bible to people who claim to believe it causes them to leave? Why would you call me and tell me that I'm making people leave? Why don't you call the ones who complain about it and say, you need to repent and get back to the church house? Why would you ask me to abandon the Word of God to accommodate people who don't believe it? You can't accomplish anything that way. I'm not trying to get people to leave church. I'm trying to get people to leave a faulty position regarding the Holy Bible. And so I hope God never lets me get in the situation that I'm about to read to you about here, but it is a worldwide epidemic, even today. 1 Kings 22, verse number 1. 1 Kings 22, 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. So you see, even back then, it was a big deal. Three years without war in the Middle East. Wow. I guarantee you there isn't anything on earth that's going to clear up the problems in the Middle East. Nothing on earth. There's nothing going to solve that but Jesus coming back. Verse 2, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, all right, now he's a good guy. If you read the life of Jehoshaphat, he loved the Lord, he feared God, he's a good king, okay? Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. All right, you want to know who he is? Look back in chapter 21, verse 29. We'll see who the king of Israel is. Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Anybody remember Ahab? Jezebel's husband. All right. Okay, back where we were in verse 3, chapter 22, verse 3. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? All right. So they have the power, they have the might to take this city from Syria, and Ahab has got it in his mind, let's go take that city while we're still strong enough to do it. And while he and Jehoshaphat are having lunch, he says, Why don't you bring the troops from Judah and come help me, and we'll fight together and go and take that city from the Syrians. All right, now let's go to 2 Chronicles. Same account, 2 Chronicles, chapter 18, verse 1, 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. Now, Chronicles gives you God's viewpoint. Samuel and Kings gives you the history from man's viewpoint. Chronicles will tell you what's really going on in their hearts. Gives you details from God's viewpoint. Okay. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles, chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Anybody remember reading anything about light trying to commune with darkness? Those that serve Christ trying to commune with those trying to serve Belial? Jehoshaphat has got no business joining affinity to Ahab. Affinity, that's a relationship or a kinship formed by marriage. The Bible says in verse 2, And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, That is Jehoshaphat, this is his answer, I am as thou art. Now that's a very contemporary answer there. The church says to the world, we're just like you. You'll like our church. We don't even call it a church anymore because, well, we know you don't like church. And, you know, we don't wear nice clothes anymore because we know you don't like to dress up and show God respect. We don't even sing hymns anymore because we know that reminds you of worshiping God. And we've done everything we can to become a nightclub so that you'll feel like you're nightclubbing when you come to our not church. I mean, really, honest, we promise, we're just like you. Our pastor, he's got an earring and long hair. And his wife dresses like her dad used to. And man, she can really preach. It's just like your home. Come on in. Jehoshaphat's got no business saying to Ahab, I'm just like you. Because if he's just like Ahab, he has moved from the right place to the wrong place. You remember that Ahab had those 450 prophets of Baal that Elijah killed. And then there was 400 more that didn't show up that day. And that's the only reason they stayed alive. All right, so that's Ahab. That's who he said he's just like. And Jehoshaphat says, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. There's his answer. And that's not a good position. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. All right, now let's stop there. Let's hold on right here. We're going to park it for a while because that's important. He's going to inquire of the Lord after he's already made his decision. He's going to inquire of the Lord in hopes that God is going to give him approval for what he has already determined that he's going to do. Now, why are you asking the pastor if it was okay after you already did it? Why do you want to know what the Bible says about what you did instead of going and finding out what the Bible says before you did it? Because you're not looking for God's direction. You're looking for God's approval. Because you're not looking for God's will, you're looking for God's okay. And hey, if you keep asking enough people, I can sooner or later find somebody who will tell me that I did the right thing. And then on the basis of that person's okay, I'll pretend that everything else, you know, everybody else was just, well, they're against me. The mystery of iniquity is this. Why ask God after you've already made your decision? What are you going to, you think you're going to fake him out? You think you're going to slip one past him? You know, God's sitting up there in heaven and he goes, oh, look, oh, wow, hey, they really do care what I say. Look at that. Look, they really are interested in my will, says the Father to the Son. Look, they're asking me. They've already made their decision. He's already struck hands with Ahab, and he says, well, let's go inquire of the Lord. Backwards. All right, let's look. Look, let's keep going. Well, first of all, let's back up what I just said about how that's backwards. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord, or the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We want to choose our path, and then ask God to follow along and make sure everything turns out okay. And so that's basically what Jehoshaphat's doing, and it's a very modern thing that's going on today too. Okay, therefore, verse 5, therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men. Anybody remember those 400 men from 1 Kings 18? They're prophets of Baal. They're hired ministers paid for by Jezebel. And, I mean, you would think, after the other 450 got killed by Elijah the prophet, that these 400 would have changed their professions, changed their job. But no, they stayed right on. And so Ahab calls for these 400 men and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. Well, if 400 people all say, go up, well, let's go. If 400 people all say, God is in this, well, then he must be in this. If 400 people preach a positive message of victory and happiness, man, we need to get with it. I mean, after all, the vote is 400-0. All right, verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Now this king sits this good king sits and watches 400 ministers, 400 preachers come and say, the Lord says, go up. The Lord says, you're going to win. And Jehoshaphat, this is how judgmental he is, you see. This is how negative and fault-finding he is. He looks at every one of those 400 prophets, and in his heart, in his mind, he says, that guy doesn't know God. That guy doesn't know the Lord. That fella doesn't know the God of the Bible. That guy right there, he doesn't know the I Am. And these 400 guys parade before the two kings, and when they get all done, Jehoshaphat turns to Ahab and says, don't you have one preacher in this country that knows God? Man, you think I'm negative. He just looked at every one of them and said, man, what a bunch of fakers. Those guys have got nothing to say that I care to hear. You know what God's prophets all said in the Bible? Thus saith the Lord. And he did say it. and then the prophet gave the prophetic declaration, what God said. And you know what these guys said? They said, go up. And it wasn't preceded by thus saith the Lord, at least not yet. They're going to throw that in later as part of their fakery, but you know, but the reason they didn't say thus saith the Lord, and that's because they weren't in league with the Lord. They weren't in fellowship with the Lord. So Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? You ready? If we had a drum set, we'd do a little drum roll right now. And here we go. Verse 7. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Now, do you see that? I mean, listen, Ahab is not an atheist. He is not anti-religion. He is so religious that he's got 400 preachers that he finances out of his own stable. He's religious. But the one guy that knows God and the one guy that tells the truth, Ahab says, I hate him. I mean, look, you need to get this, because it's so hard for some of you, dear, sweet, kind, patient, loving people, it's so hard for you to get this. Those of us who tell the truth are not hateful. The people who don't want to hear the truth, they are the ones who are hateful. I don't hate lost people. A lot of them hate me. I do not hate that band of sodomites that likes to parade down the street with pride. But when I tell them the truth, of course they're going to hate me. I do not hate those people who peddle dope and liquor and ruin people's lives. But if I show them what God says about their business, they'll all hate me. You understand? When people say, well, you're so hateful, that's not true. But I know who's hateful. You don't see Christians trying to outlaw Islam. You don't see Christians trying to outlaw Buddhism and transcendental meditation and yoga and all that stuff. You don't see Christians trying to outlaw every other religion. Well, who's this bunch trying to outlaw every free and public exercise of Christianity, while talking about how hateful and intolerant we are? Bunch of Ahabs, that's who. So he says, I hate him. You ready? You want to know why? For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. I hate that man. Jehoshaphat says, Ahab, why do you hate him? Well, because he always preaches negative. Well, no, that's not true, Ahab. I've heard him preach a lot of positive stuff. Well, yeah, but I mean about me. Now, you ready? I mean, look, this is the mystery of iniquity. How you can be so self-deceived as to hear a preacher preach from the Word of God about your sin and hate that man and accuse him of making a personal attack against you instead of trying to help you and rescue your life from destruction. Here's Ahab. He's connected with idolatry. He's connected with falsehood. He's connected with sorcery. He's connected with devilment. He's connected with everything that's ungodly. He had a man murdered so he could steal his property. That's how ungodly he is. And he says, I hate that man. He never says anything good about me. You know why, Ahab? Because there's nothing good about you. He never puts his seal of approval on what I want to do. You know why? Because he's speaking for God, and God doesn't approve of it. Now, you know, people who have decided just to sin, and people who want God to say that their sin is okay, you know, they hate a preacher who takes God's side. You know what people are looking for in a church today? They're looking for somebody to tell them, God's okay with what you're doing. God approves of how you're living. God approves of the choices that you're making. And I'll be the first to say any of those things. If what we're doing lines up with the Bible. And if it doesn't, well, you can call me hateful, you can call me negative, you can call it anything you want, but we're not selling out God just to put a seal of approval on what you have decided to do. He never says anything good about me. Well, repent, Ahab. He's always siding against me. Well, then you need to get on the right side, Ahab. Okay, who is this prophet of God? The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. You know, in other words, come on, king, don't say that. It can't always be negative. Let's bring him out. Let's give him a try. Let's see what he has to say. I mean, I heard a couple of tapes from the guy. Sounded pretty good to me. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. That means they knew where he was. They just didn't want to invite him. He wasn't the one hiding. Okay. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Okay, so just picture that. It's a grand time, this like big party time. You know, here's two kings. They're all dressed so fancy, sitting on their thrones, and one prophet after another comes up, just kisses their feet, man. And, you know, oh, king, oh, your majesty, oh, your pompous one, oh, your majestic blah, 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 blah. You know, and each of them is just trying to outdo the other one, to court the favor of a human king, who's just a man. He woke up in the morning with bad breath, just like everyone else, one day closer to the grave. Instead of courting the favor of an eternal, holy God who has the power of life and death in his hands. So you get that? Can you picture this? I mean, come on, why are you trying to court the favor of public opinion? The public is dying, man. Court the favor of God's opinion. That's what counts. Please Him. So all this big show is going on, and all of a sudden, the prophets start murmuring, and you hear this rumble going through the crowd, and in walks Micaiah. And they hadn't seen him since the one time they asked him to open the city commission meeting in prayer. Some of them know him because he ended up preaching funerals for members of their churches. None of them really knows him personally, but they hate his guts. They wouldn't say it to his face, because when you put all 400 of them, of those guys together and dissected them and sewed them back together, you probably couldn't make one good man out of them all. You couldn't make one man out of the 400. That's the bunch there. That's the ones who call up churches and say, "I'm a Christian, stop giving out tracts." That's the ones who get in your face and say, "I love Jesus, quit preaching the gospel." That's the ones who won't have church service Sunday, but their pastor will dress up in a Santa Claus suit for the kiddies on Friday night. That's the picture there. You know, we won't preach the bloody cross because we know it offends people. Instead, we'll deck a tree with silver and gold. that's the crowd. So Micaiah walks up, and they're just, you know, what's he doing here? Who invited him? He's not allowed. And they start moving away and backing up. And the Bible says in verse 10, and Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, had made him horns of iron and said, "Thus saith the Lord." There it is. Now he's really putting on the show. So you notice now Micaiah's here. Let's do it up a little bit more. "Thus saith the Lord. With these thou shalt push Syria until thou be consumed." Okay, and verse 11, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper." So how about that? 400 prosperity preachers right there. Isn't that funny? I didn't write the Bible. But here you got 400 guys preaching prosperity to a rich king sitting in royal robes on a throne. I mean, how can you miss? It's like telling a millionaire, "God's going to make you rich." He's already got it. "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent." Nobody's disagreed so far. "Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good." So he's got him back like in a Sunday school room or something, and he's saying, "Please, would you please, I'm just begging you, would you please just go up there and say something nice? Would you just not attack false religion? Would you just not name names? Can't you just be nice like everybody else? Come on, everybody's in agreement here. Everybody's happy here. Could you just lie? Could you just go along with the program?" I thought about this. I thought about how to do it. I can't even picture this in my mind, how I could possibly go and sit at one of these meetings with one of these baby-sprinkling, death-cookie-eating, baptismal regeneration, Bible-denying hypocrites, and sit there and hold hands with them and sing Kumbaya and recite the Lord's Prayer. I'm convinced I could not do that. I don't have the stomach for it. On my nicest day, I can't be that nice. I know it's hard for you to believe. But I just don't know how I could do it. But this guy, he's pleading with Micaiah and saying, would you please, please just don't rock the boat, man. We have 400 preachers at this conference and everybody's happy. The money's rolling in. I mean, we're going to sell a million DVDs at this meeting, and I don't know how, you know, I don't know why you're here, why they asked you to preach last, but could you just go in there and do a little, you know, maybe do some John 3:16 or something, you know, how about a God is love message? That might be okay. Can you preach God is love? Please, just be nice. I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. So that is having a final authority right there. If God tells me, go up, I'll say, go up. If God tells me, you're going to prosper, I'll say, you're going to prosper. But if God tells me you're headed for trouble, I'm going to tell you, you are headed for trouble. Isn't that the nice thing to do? All right. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. It's mockery. That's what that is. You say, why is he lying now? He's mocking all those. He said, okay, I'll be just like them. Go on up. Have a good time. Prosper. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? You see that? I mean, look, Micaiah said exactly what the other 400 said. If he's lying, well then aren't they lying too? If he knows that Micaiah is lying, well guess what? He knows that the rest of them are lying as well. He wants to be lied to. He wants somebody to tell him he's okay, even if he knows they're not telling the truth. That's the mystery of iniquity. And today, I mean, here, you're under enough conviction, your life is in enough unrest for you to seek out a church to try and get some help. But you demand that that church tell you that you don't need any help, that you're okay the way you are. And you say, I'm not going back there. He told me I need to repent and get right with God, and he's preaching about how I'm a sinner, and man, I'm not going back there. I mean, well, why did you go there in the first place? Can't help you if you don't accept the help. So Ahab knows those prophets are lying. When Micaiah says what they said, the king tells him to quit lying. Tell me what God really said. Verse 16. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? I told you. Now look, he's mad at a man who told him the truth to try to save his life. What does Micaiah get out of this? All he is trying to do is keep Ahab from dying. And Ahab takes it as a personal insult and an attack on his wonderful self. I told you he wouldn't say anything good about me. That's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. And, you know, when you men and women go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ out there in public places, and people curse you and swear at you and slam doors in your face and spit on you and threaten you and all the rest of that, is it not a mystery to you that they can be so angry at somebody who's trying to save them from an eternity in a lake of fire? How can you consider that hateful? You people, you're out there preaching hate. You're so hateful. You're so mean. Isn't that a mystery? You're out there lifting up your voice. You're saying, Jesus loves you so much. He died for you so that you can have eternal life. Stop preaching hate. Isn't that amazing? Do you know what you'd have to do to not be preaching hate in their way of thinking? You'd have to stand there and say, God just wants you to know that everything you're doing is A-okay with Him. Eat, drink, and be merry. Keep on doing what you're doing. That'd be okay. But the minute you say, you've got to turn, you've got to repent, you've got to be born again, you've got to be saved, all of a sudden, you're hateful. You know why it doesn't bother me, though? Because I know I'm not hateful. I know myself better than that stranger who never met me, knows me. I know I'm not their enemy. I know I'm not trying to hurt them. So they can say what they want. I know how it goes. I mean, it's right here in the Bible. Right? That's what happened to my Ki, and that's what will happen to you. That's what will happen to me. Okay? They can say what they want, but they're just wrong and don't know it. Okay, let's go on. Continue. And again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? In other words, how are you going to do it? What's your plan? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Well, do you believe the Bible? What's the work of the devil? It's to get preachers to lie, spiritual leaders to lie. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek, and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Well, that's the love crowd there, right? See, that's one of the guys that doesn't preach negative. That's one of the guys that doesn't preach mean-spirited. That's one of the guys that has a positive prosperity message. You see that? See, we preach truth and we're called hateful. They preach lies and they hate the truth and those that proclaim the truth. That's Bible. And then the scripture says in verse 24, and Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. You know what he said? I'm going to punish the preacher for not approving of my sin. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, "Hearken, all ye people." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Well, Jehoshaphat made a bad move there, didn't he? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself." Why? I mean, look, he knows that preacher was telling the truth. He's just decided he's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to put on a disguise so God won't be able to find him out there on the battlefield. "I'll dye my hair, I'll put on a little fake beard, I'll wear a soldier's uniform, I'll leave my king ring back home, and God won't know it's me. I'll show that preacher." The Bible's an amazing book, isn't it? So he says, "I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes." You go ahead, Jehoshaphat. I mean, you just go out there and you be the big king. But I'm going to go out there like a little guy. Maybe they'll shoot you instead of me. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, "Fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel." So he says, the only guy I want to kill is that guy. I want to kill Ahab. That is objective number one in this war. We're going to get Osama bin Ahab. That's who we're after. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. When he's about to die, he becomes jumping Jehoshaphat right there. No, I'm not Ahab, I'm not Ahab. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. That means he just shot an arrow up into the air blindly, just at a venture. Okay? So that's all that means. And so he drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. So this guy is just out there fighting, and he doesn't even know where the king is, so he just pulls that bow back, lets it fly, and the arrow comes flying through the air and thump, right through Ahab. Remarkable. Therefore he said to his chariot man, that's Ahab, said, "Turn thine hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even. And about the time of the sun going down, he died. He died. You know, Elihu said in Job 36:12, "If they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." And Ahab is a prime example of that. Okay, so here's what I got to believe. If I am going to preach God's word, this is what I've got to believe. The wages of sin is death. Okay, if I'm going to be true to God, here's what I have to proclaim. The wages of sin is death. If I'm going to be of any help at all to the men and women who are under my influence, I have to tell them the wages of sin is death. If I choose sin over Scripture, it will cost us, perhaps, our lives. Something will die. Ahab did not die because Micaiah was negative. He died because he hated the word of God and the person who proclaimed it. He died because he chose to sin and continue in that sin despite his every attempt to get God to approve of his course of action. It's a remarkable passage. What's the mystery of iniquity? In part, it is a man or a woman's ability to deceive themselves into thinking, God didn't mean me. That doesn't apply to me. I'm special. I have an exemption. If God says don't, and the Bible says don't, and the preacher says don't, and you say, well, yeah, but you're just all against me. No, you're against yourself. You're opposing yourself. Nobody killed Ahab but Ahab. Nobody brought Ahab down but Ahab. Nobody ruined Ahab's life but Ahab. One out of 400. One who told the truth, 400 who told a lie. Would you think me hypercritical if I said that's just about where we stand today? That's just about where we are in most any country, I believe. One preacher, one church, one congregation trying to stand for the truth for every 400 that couldn't care less what God said. Just tell me what I want to hear. Promise me it's going to turn out okay. If not, I'm going to call you hateful because I hate you. Well, the fellow died, but he didn't have to die. He could have brought his life in line with what God said instead of trying to get God to line up with what he wanted to do. You understand? Are you getting that? You've got to bring your life in line with what God said, not try to get God to line up with what you want to do. And if you've got a Christian friend, if you've got a spouse, if you've got a congregation of brothers and sisters, if you've got a preacher, if you've got a Sunday school teacher who will stand and be true like Micaiah stood and was true, you ought to thank God for it. And you ought to listen to him. I don't want to be deceived. I sure do not want to deceive myself. So I have to have a final authority. I've got to go by the Bible. And if what I want to do doesn't match the Bible, I can't pretend that God approves of it, or it will kill me. The wages of sin is death. And if you're considering entering the ministry, becoming a preacher, a missionary, listen, everybody's personalities are different. I understand that. God didn't make any two people alike. And that's cause for rejoicing right there. But hey, if you can't pray over this passage that we just went through this morning and say, God, I'll be that man. I'll be what Micaiah was. You know, if you can't say that, do not enter the ministry. I mean, because we can find the other 400 liars anywhere. We don't need you to help fill those ranks. But that one in 400, that's the one we're looking for. That's the one we need. And if any of you are holding out some hope that one day it might be popular to tell the truth, you need to read this passage again. It will be popular to tell the truth in the millennial kingdom. Until then, you just need to stay on that narrow road. There's a lot of opposition, but it's not crowded, at least. It's not crowded. There's plenty of room on the narrow road. Amen. All right, let's stand and pray. and sing.